Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio, hour number two is underway. Jake Miller, Matthew Catlin, and Baker going to be with you for one more hour. John Dunn's going to be joining us here in about 20 minutes. Went over a lot of stuff today. I did want to give a shout-out to Metro Nashville Police Department. Want to give a big shout-out to the officers who, I mean, let's call this like it is. Those guys are heroes. Rex Engelbert, that guy, as soon as he got out of his car, from the moment he opened his door, he did not show any hesitation, no fear, and he did exactly what he was trained to do. And I'm also going to give a shout out to the police department as well for not skimping, not taking the cheap route on the weapons they supply to policemen and women in Nashville. That M4 had everything you needed on it. Flashlight, scope if you needed it. They had those guys set up. Absolute. Just could not have handled that situation any better if you were those guys.
So I got to send our just thoughts and prayers to the three families who lost their children and then the three adults who also lost their lives in this tragedy that happened. It was yesterday, correct?
It was yesterday. I mean, yeah. And let's call this like it is. I mean, it was an act of domestic terrorism. It was a target on Christians. Call it like it is.
Just hurts.
It's just sad.
It hurts. I work with kids every day. I think about it all the time. I'm like, you know, first thing, I mean, if I ever heard a gunshot in my classroom, I would...
You run.
Barricade. I'm putting my life on the line for those kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with 3-year-old children. I mean, I probably would never want to keep a... I'd never want to keep a gun on me, especially in a classroom full of, you know, those kinds of kids. I mean, you never know what they're going to get their hands on.
Yeah, no joke.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'd lay my life down for children like that. Not saying I would ever, you know, hope to be in that situation ever. But, I mean, just the thought, I guess, that's kind of the life that we're living in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a horrible, horrible feeling. Even the thought to have kids. I mean, send them to that.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's like, I mean, nowhere's safe nowadays. I mean, that's just the feeling around American schools. It's like...
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, public schools in the state of Tennessee, like, have SRO officers.
Mm-hmm.
At least every school district that I have ever been a part of or, like, I know people that are in that school system. Like, there's always an SRO officer on site. Now, there was a secondary target for the person that decided they were going to go
commit this crime. Yeah,
absolutely. But the reason they didn't go with a secondary target is because it was too secure.
Yeah, that's
because they basically had armed guards and they were not about to.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't have even got through the door.
Yeah, I heard that report that I guess it was the first place that this person was looking at had too much security. So, I mean,
anywhere where you keep your children should have two. I guess depending on, you know, the size of the school,
mm-hmm.
should have at least two SRO officers. I don't care, you know, what it is.
We had two.
Daycare. Yeah.
I don't know if we had SRO officers, but I know we had security.
Some sort of security.
But you went to a private school.
Yeah, I went to a private school. Okay. Yeah. I went to a private school, and I don't think we had any SRO officers there. I think we just had security bases, but, like, we practice, like, you know, you do tornado lockdowns or tornado drills, stuff like that. We've done lockdown drills, stuff like that, like, if it were to happen, because I forget what, I don't know which mass tragedy it was that happened with me in high school, but, like, it was...
Parkland?
It was 2017?
I think it was the Adam Lanza.
Yeah, it was the Parkland one, yeah. And I think that's what, like, sent, like, our school to do that. And I think schools across not only the state, but across the nation, like, took it more serious, even though it's a very serious thing after what happened in Sandy Hook and Columbine and
mm-hmm.
that type of stuff. This is a topic that should be held up to the most serious especially when it happens to, what, 9-year-old kids?
Yeah. Exactly.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know, people want to preach gun control. It's like, oh, well, this is a prime example of why we need it. I'm like, okay, well, what stopped the person with a gun? A good person with a gun. That's the only thing that stops someone in that situation, is a good person with a gun. Someone with good training. That's what stops that.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Even if you enforced it, guess what? That person's still going to get their hands on one.
Yeah.
I mean, drugs are illegal, but guess what? People get their hands on them every day.
I think there's more guns in this country than there are people. I think I read that stat.
There's a bunch of weird stats. Like, the state of Virginia completely got one wrong. Like, they tried to say that, like, 500 more thousand people died from gun, like, mass shootings.
Yeah.
Than anything. I mean, they were completely wrong. But yeah. No one calls them out on it. Just like nobody in the national media is going to call this out like it is as a act of domestic terrorism. Nobody's ever going to do that. You know it, and I know it. Jumping back to sports. It's the purpose of the show. Just thought I'd get my 2 cents in. Tennessee baseball. Looks like they're about to close this one out.
Yeah, it's top of the ninth right now, up 5-0. So, I mean, just get the shutout and get out of there.
Yeah, let's just get it done.
Yeah, I mean... Who was our closer? I know they brought Kirby in.
I don't know. Outside of Kirby, I have no idea.
Yeah, they brought him in at like the 7th inning, and he has 2 shutout innings right now. I think he might have 2 perfect innings.
Goodness. Slamming the bats. Not happy.
Yeah, it was an awful call, though. The ball went fair and then came back and like hit the bag, and they called it out.
Oh.
Yeah. They, like, rode the line, and then, like, and they didn't have enough evidence to conclude that it was a foul ball.
I love what Nike has done with our cleats, by the way.
Checkerboard on the back. Yeah. Those are sweet.
I love those.
Do we have black Tennessee baseball uniforms?
We got a black jersey, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
The black hat, I think it's got that old
the
UT
interlocking
logo.
UT.
Yeah.
Those are sick.
Yeah, those are really, really sweet.
I'll be honest, I went to a baseball game a couple weeks ago, and it was very enjoyable to be a part of.
I feel like after last year, because I went to the ETSU game, that was the very beginning of the season, and right after that game is when all the tickets started pumping up about like 50, 60, and then you saw them at like 150, and SEC games were like 200. I mean, like they just kept on jacking up, and I mean, it's a small stadium to go watch them play, but they were – damn fun to go to.
Let me ask y'all this. Would you like it more, since they're already with Nike, if Tennessee would make a transition to the Jordan brand?
I mean, I wouldn't mind to see it. I like the way that kind of Florida has them.
Yeah, what's Florida, UNC, and Oklahoma, all Jordan?
UCLA.
UCLA is.
I always forget about UCLA.
Michigan as well now.
Yeah, Michigan. They look sweet. And I think for basketball, they would look even cooler if we had Jordan uniforms.
The only thing that bothers me is a guy dunking a basketball on a baseball or a football jersey. That just something about that just hurts me.
Because they don't like the Jordan logo is like it's synonymous with basketball, so it's kind of weird to see the Jordan logo on a football jersey and whatnot. We got a mound visit here going on.
Ew. But I mean, I'm thinking about this like. You see, like, some football players, like, they'll wear the Air Jordan 1 cleats. Obviously, they're probably a lot more comfortable than what the Air Jordan 1s are. Because I cannot imagine having to play basketball in a pair of those.
Air Jordan, yeah. No, you see them. I mean, you see all the time. They're playing
a pair.
Yeah, they're playing in dunks. They're more like dunk cleats.
The Blazers?
Yeah.
Those are the ones, I think,
ones, yeah. They play a lot in those. And you see some people now playing in... whatever the hell they want to play in, basically. I don't know. The NFL has a weird rule on that. Someone got fined. I think it was OBJ got fined for something on his cleats.
It was, what was it?
I forgot
what it was, but, like, the NFL's really strict on their cleats. Like, Marshawn Lynch, he got fined for the Skittles cleats, I'm pretty sure.
The Alvin Kamara, I think the Alvin Kamara cleats are probably my favorite, the Christmas ones. Mm-hmm. And it had, like, the Santa bag on them.
Yeah.
Those are probably the coolest ones. I can't believe they didn't get fined for that.
I mean, the thing is, like, the NBA used to have a strict rule. That's why you have the Jordan 1 bread, or band as we know them as. you know, the NBA had really strict guidelines on what kind of shoe you could and could not wear back then. So they laxed it a little bit, and now it's to the point where you can pretty much just wear whatever you want.
Wear whatever you want. Yeah. I mean, you got PJ Tucker switching shoes like every quarter of a game.
Well, I mean, think about this too. I mean, even high school teams, you know, we used to have a team shoe.
Yeah.
And now it's like you play whatever you're comfortable wearing.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted damn Converse D-Wades 1 year. And I was like, these are the most uncomfortable basketball shoes. They had no sole.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like I was playing in a pair of Sperry's.
There you go.
Odell Beckham got fined $18,000 for wearing those, or he didn't, what was it, the Craig Sager cleats?
Oh.
That's
what it was. It was a tribute cleat.
Yeah, it was a tribute cleat.
So he got fined for tributing. Okay.
Yep.
I mean, who was the guy that used to wear the Joker cleats?
Who was that?
It had to be OBJ, or was it Antonio Brown? One of them had Joker cleats. They were sweet. Well, I think they got fined from the NFL.
Antonio Brown getting fined?
Never heard of her.
That guy.
Hey.
That guy.
All charged with anything?
He might have ruined, he might have actually, like, tarnished his whole entire Hall of Fame career. And I feel like he'll still get inducted. I actually was, like, reading about that the other day. I feel like he'll still get inducted in the Hall of Fame, but just the fact that he basically tarnished his whole entire career just by acting out
is
ridiculous.
Is Terrell Owens in the Hall of Fame?
He is.
Now he is?
He is, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah.
Because he did that whole entire thing in Chattanooga for it.
Because I always...
By the way, have you ever heard the story on him?
On T.O.?
Yes.
Uh-uh. What story?
You know, he thought he was committing to the University of Tennessee at Knoxville.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. I did not know that.
He didn't know that there were multiple UT campuses.
I can't believe I've never heard of that.
Yeah. You could have had Peyton Manning and Terrell Owens on the same roster.
I would have been perfectly fine with that.
But, I mean, he got to go there and play basketball. So. Uh-huh.
What was the year that Chad Pennington went to Marshall?
Yeah.
What was? What year was that? Was that 2000?
That was in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Mid-90s?
Yeah.
Okay. Chad Pennington was way...
I was trying to think of... I mean, because he was at Webb.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, he was.
He's a Campbell County boy.
Yeah. He's a Campbell County boy?
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a
Memphis guy?
Yeah.
What's his name? He played for the Giants, went to Houston, he was a pitcher. Matt Cain. He went to Houston High School.
Really?
No way.
Yeah, he was a Memphis guy, yep.
Knoxville has so many baseball players I could just, like, spit off the top of my name.
I may be getting that name wrong. Let me make
might
sure
just be
that.
Farragut, honestly. Yeah. I really don't have anyone else.
Randy Orton, born in Knoxville.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
A lot of weird... A lot of weird ties to this area.
That's not Matt Cain. Yeah.
Played for the Astros?
I keep forgetting
Giants.
That we have...
The Giants?
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that we have Ben Joyce's brother.
Yeah, Zach.
Yeah.
Speaking of Farragut baseball.
And the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, so he was born in Dothan, Alabama, but he went to Houston High School.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Michigan football has enshrined the flag planted on Ohio State's turf after the 2022 win. Oh, my goodness. That's in, like, their little museum.
Really?
Yeah. They're going to keep that there forever.
Oh, there's nothing better than watching Ohio State lose.
Matt Cain had a perfect game. I forget about that.
There's not been many.
12 in existence? I don't know how many there.
Then Jim Joyce, he robbed...
Oh, the Burley?
Oh, no.
Or what?
Galarraga.
Who was the White Sox guy that had a perfect game rolling until the...
I know who exactly.
It's Mark Burley, right?
No, it was like... so it was the G.
Galarraga?
I'm about to look it up.
I mean, even Jim Joyce, he went into a press conference because you never see umpires or officials go to a press conference. And he's like, I missed it from me to the wall.
Ugh.
There's 23 official perfect games.
It all ties back to MJ.
let me see. What'd you say? It was a Tigers guy, right?
Yes.
Oh, was that Verlander?
It wasn't Verlander.
No. It was... it was Galarraga. Yeah, you're okay. Right. Yeah. Armando Galarraga nearly became the 21st pitcher. Yeah, that was...
Miguel Cabrera just looked at the ump and, was like, in disbelief.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll say this about Jim Joyce. He stood there and he took it like a man after he realized what he had done, because the manager had came out and just started chewing him out. He just sat there and he took it like a man, because, you know, usually they're trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
Angel Hernandez would have got out of there.
Oh,
Jim
yeah.
Joyce sat there and he took it like a man.
Angel Hernandez is a terrible ump.
I would much rather have a ref.
He's been bad since I was a youngster, dude.
They did some stat last year about how many pitches he missed, and it was, oh my lord, it was a million pitches, I felt like. Insane.
Much rather have a referent ump own up to their mistakes than walk off and pack up their bags.
Did y'all see the ump that threw JT Realmuto out for moving his glove?
Yeah. That was actually kind of funny.
So JT was sitting here like this with his glove waiting for a ball, and he moved his glove, and the ump dropped the ball, so he obviously didn't get in the glove, and the ump points him, throws him out for it.
You gotta be kidding me.
No. Have you not seen that?
Had
no. Over here and like left it. I think he was trying to turn around.
Find that for me.
It was after a bad call.
Yeah.
Yeah, find that for me. We're going to go to break. John Dunn of the All of All Collins Show is going to join us next. Stay with us. John Dunn coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime Fan Run Radio, pleased to be joined by my good friend John Dunn of the All of All Collins Show and All of All Podcast. John, what's up, man?
Living the dream, gentlemen. How are you all?
Pretty good, man. You know, still trying to process everything that happened, you know, since the last time we talked. You know, Tennessee in what looked like a sure road to the championship game once again gets taken away by an underdog. And this seems to be a recurring theme. And, you know, a lot of people are starting to change their tune on Rick Barnes. Some people are finally starting to talk about how some things are just aggravating them. And now we're in a time where it's like, okay, these guys can come back, but I don't know if they will come back or if Barnes will let them come back. So now we're sitting here having all these discussions of how do you move on from this? How do you fix the problem and implement a plan next year? Who do you even get back? And who do you even want back?
So beginning there, I think if there are any of the players leaving the current roster that you even, I guess, remotely entertain the idea, maybe approach and, you know, test the waters, is Santiago Vescovi. Tennessee's going to need a lot of guard help next year. I think it's important to attack the portal. I mean, obviously, they've got some guys sitting that have a very high upside. But if there's one player from this current team that you go back to and you say, hey, we could use you next year. It's got to be Santiago Vescovi. And I think, honestly, I think another year would do wonders for his draft stock. I mean, I think he's got a potential to land the NBA, more likely overseas ball. But I think if he comes back, Tennessee has a great year. He has another, you know, he has the potential to further etch his name into the record books at Tennessee and the SEC. That could do wonders for his draft stock. You never know. Could end up being one of those utility players that the team picks up late. But he's the only one that I could see potentially. I mean, some of them could, you know, just to, I guess, help bolster their draft stock. But I really don't see many of them, if any, coming back. So, but then, you know, aside from those guys, you've got to attack the portal. I mean, it's a new day and age. There are guys bouncing from team to team, and you got to go after some guards. Yeah, there are some really important big men that just hit the portal, too. You know, the Oregon center up there. He would be a huge get for Tennessee. I think it would bring some more physical presence to the interior. It's what you're going to be losing with Euros, with more talent. Somebody that could play off of Duke and JP Estrella, all those guys. But mainly you need to go attack the portal and get some guards. You know, look at some of these smaller schools, your FAU schools, that these guys didn't get, you know, recruited by the Tennessees, the UCLAs of the world. That's why the transfer portal is so important nowadays, because guys like that didn't have the opportunity before have now showcased their talent, proved themselves, and are looking for bigger opportunities. That's a good place to start. And then something that Rick Barnes has done that I think he may very well do again is go overseas and look for somebody. He could pull in a foreign guard from somewhere. It's worked out, you know, for him in the past. Obviously, we're talking about Santiago Vescovi right now. So there's a lot of things he can do, but I think recruiting, having a great, great recruiting class, you know, another one maybe on top of the one he's got coming in, would do wonders for him. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of things to do, and luckily they've got a little bit of time to do it.
Well, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned, like, going overseas to get you a guard, because there's actually a guard that's in the portal right now from California Baptist that played at the NBA Global Academy in Australia, Taron Armstrong from Cal Baptist.
He's Armstrong, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he's the number two guy in the portal right now, ranked higher than Kirk Risa and all these guys that we've seen going in.
Wow.
Do you maybe take a flyer on him, given what's happened with Tyreek Key coming from a smaller school?
Well, I mean, you about have to, realistically. And, I mean, I'm not going to say that I assume that Tyreek Key was going to step in and just be some sort of a – you know, I mean, he led the – if I'm not mistaken, led the country in scoring while at Indiana State or something like that, right?
Points
yes.
per game, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like points per game. And then we've had a player the exact same type, and I believe it was James Daniel, that came in and had a very similar type of career, I feel like. I mean, it never hurts to take a chance on these guys, and, you know, the law of averages dictates that eventually you're going to hit on one of them. But, you know, the number two player ranked in the portal, I was unaware of that. I'll have to do a little bit more research on the guy for sure, but it absolutely cannot hurt. You know, I mean, if I'm Rick Barnes, if I'm any high caliber basketball coach in the country, I'm going to approach the best of the best, whether it's in the portal, whether it's in, you know, high school recruiting, whether it's, you know, overseas. I'm going to the best of the best. I'm saying, hey, you can come here and help make our program a staple program, blue blood. You know, basketball is crazy. Anything can be done here. So you definitely got to go after the best, no matter where it's at.
Brandon Murray just entered the
really?
Portal too. Was at LSU, went to Georgetown.
And we were in on him for a minute.
Yep. I could probably see him going, I don't know if he's where he's originally from, but probably somewhere in Florida.
Now, I will say this also. Rick Barnes does have a very tough brand of offense to sell to these
yes.
guys. And I would, if I was him, the pitch I would use is saying, hey, I just haven't had the guys to do it. You can look at some of my teams, blah, 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 from when I coached in Texas or some of the teams we've had, blah, blah, blah. I would only highlight my good years of offense. And I would go with these guys and be like, look, I need this type of player. I need a dog, and that's you, buddy. You want to come be part of this? You got to sell it that way, because there's no way you're going to be able to go in and be like, look, what I want is a ton of defense. You're going to average 4 points a game, but we're going to have some good defense. There's no way you're going to get any high-quality offensive player doing that. But Rick Barnes is a legend. You know how I feel about him. Everybody knows how I feel about him. Absolute legend. He's got a good recruiting pitch. He's obviously done a great job of getting talent to Tennessee. I don't think he's going to struggle with that this year. But use it. You know what I mean? Use it.
I mean, that's the big thing, is just use the talent that you get. I mean, you know who I'm about to harp on, and you know good and well what's going to happen if he does not get utilized.
I could pretty much verbatim quote what you're about to say already.
Go ahead and give it a try.
So if JP Estrella comes in and Rick Barnes doesn't use him up to his capability, I'm out. I'm done on it. I'm out on
it. That's verbatim exactly what I was about to say. I mean, oh man, that's what's great about this, is we know each other that well. We know exactly what the other is about to say. And you know, you mentioned, you know, trying to sell your best offenses you've had here at Tennessee and at Texas. Use that 2019 team as an example. And which, by the way, this big discussion that we had back in January as to who the better team was when this team got called the best in Tennessee history, John, I ran a little simulation. That team beats this team 93-65.
Yeah, I saw those numbers when you sent those to me. I honestly wasn't surprised, you know. And then we have folks saying, well, there's no way this team would give up 90 some points. Yeah, they would.
To Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield.
Yeah,
you know how much
Grant
bigger they are.
Grant Williams, see, that's the only discrepancy I have. So I loved the simulation that he ran, and I really, really enjoyed the statistics that it gave, too.
Yeah, that was actually surprising that it actually gave us stats.
It was crazy. The only argument I had is I think Grant Williams goes for a lot more than 17-13 against this team. You name me one guy on this Tennessee team, one guy at all, that could have stopped Grant Williams. Name me two at once that could have stopped him.
You can't.
Josiah Joe James. The five-star guy.
Oh, my God. There it is. There it is, John.
Oh, mercy. Listen, like, Grant Williams, he is the epitome of what I think of when I think of somebody playing, like, punching up, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You know, he was not a very big inside player. not at all. But he played like twice the size of Euros. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. That's what I've always heard. Grant Williams was a dog. I mean, yeah. And that dude, he's still going off. I mean, he's even developed a shot now. Imagine if he'd have had that ways at Tennessee. Lord have mercy.
We probably would have only lost one or two games.
Exactly.
His last year here.
Yeah, that would have been incredible. But, you know, if I'm Rick Barnes, I am trying every way in the world to find the doppelganger to each and every player I had on that roster. That's what it's going to take to win. That type of team right there with that grit, the tenacity, the physicality, the want to, the hunger, and the fun they had. That was a very fun bunch. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to have fun when you're winning, right?
It's easier to have fun when you're winning, and it's a lot easier to win when you don't care about who gets the credit.
Exactly, and that's very, very important. And you hit the nail on the head. The most important stat of that team, I thought that they were either one or two in the country all year long in assists per game. Mm-hmm. They were either one or two in the country in assists per game. They were averaging something silly, dude. It was like 21 or 22 assists at one point per game. That's outrageous. And that's because of I guess that speaks volumes to how dominant Grant Williams was on the interior, and it speaks volumes to the vision of the guards to get him the ball and go with what's working. That's something that team did well.
Well, not to mention, I mean, when you look at that team, it's like, okay, you got Jordan Bone, who's got the fastest first step in the country, bringing the ball up. If someone drives to the lane, you felt comfortable with whoever that guy was going to dish the ball out to if the paint collapsed. It's like, okay, he's going to dish it out to somebody, and they're going to hit a three. It's like, okay, well, they're guarding us really well on the perimeter. It's like, let's get it inside to Grant. Let's get it inside to Kyle. Let them do work, because that's just what they do.
Exactly. You know, that team is exceptionally, exceptionally balanced. This team has had every bit of capability in the world to be just as balanced as them. They were painfully balanced most of the season. They didn't have that go-to guy, and that's what separates that 19 team from this team. Yes. You look at it across the board, they were fairly, as far as balance goes, top to bottom, fairly balanced. Same amount of depth, just about it, what have you. But then you had guys like Grant and Admiral that would step up seemingly every game, one or two guys. And if it wasn't those two, it was Bone or another player, you know, just any given night. And that's just something that this team does not have.
I was going to say, I feel like last year would probably be a more balanced year, just having a point guard, and that's kind of what he didn't have this year. He didn't have that backup point guard. He had Ziegler playing basically 40 minutes a game, and I mean, once he went down, who do you go to? I mean, you have Jemai Meshack, who didn't shoot the ball all year, and then out of nowhere, you know, having him drive in the lane, and I mean, like, Tennessee fans never saw him actually drive in the lane this year until the tournament. I don't know. It's just unprepared, and that's basically what it came down to, I think.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, man. And you know, last year's team was just as balanced, if not more balanced. You know, and I think that's another characteristic of a Rick Barnes coach team, and then with 2019 being the outlier. But then you had guys that just had ice in their veins, like Admiral and Grant, Jordan Bone, and Jordan Bowden even.
Yeah.
Lamonte Turner, guys that were just stone-cold killers, man. You know, not like the Alabama type, but on the court. That's just what's been missing from this group. And I don't know who it's going to be to ring the bell next year. I mean, Zakai Ziegler has the intangibles to be that go-to guy. He just doesn't have the size to be that go-to guy. Phillips, that's who I thought it would be this year. Honest to goodness, before the season got started, I thought we would see something like a Keon Johnson-Kennedy-Chandler hybrid out of this guy. I figured he was going to be much better at ball handling. I thought his shot was going to be much better. I thought he was going to be much better at attacking the cup, slashing, cutting, floor vision, everything. And honestly, I was very unimpressed with Julian Phillips this year. I mean, most of the season I thought he did good, especially early on in the season. He was a great utility player, but to be as highly touted and expected lottery pick, I thought he underperformed, so I think him coming back would be monumental for his development. I'm not going to tell nobody what to do, obviously. I mean, I call him a kid. I'm an old man now, but he's a man. He can make his own decisions, you know, and it's hard to turn down millions of dollars. So if he is projected to go at all, he's probably going to go, you know, and it's hard to turn that down. But I personally, as, you know, just a fan, a critic, a reporter, an analyst, would prefer to see him back for another year just to further his development. But he could be that go-to guy next year. And you never know. One of these incoming freshmen could just have that X factor. We've seen it happen with freshmen throughout the country before. We've seen it happen with freshmen here at Tennessee in the past. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see right now. But Rick Barnes, you know, you guys know how I am about him, but next year is going to be a very, very pivotal year. I'm never going to say fire him, whatever. But I think next year, if it's a bad year, honestly, I think next year, if it's a really good year, that could be it for him. I really do think that. I think that if it's a horrible year, I think he says, I'm done. I'm tired of dealing with it. If he goes to the Final Four, I think he says, well, I made it at least one more time. I'm done with it. But if it's another year about like this, I think he's back for another one after that. So I think next year will be the determining season in which we find out what type of retirement Rick Barnes has. Does he sail off into the sunset as a hero? To me, he always will, regardless, just because of his body of work. Or does he just kind of, you know, fade away and, you know, people forget about him in a couple of years? I don't want that to happen. I want the guy to go out on a high note. I think everybody does, and I think that's the big argument. Everybody's arguing the same side or two sides of the same coin. You know, it's, oh, he underperforms. It's, well, he's a legendary coach. We all just want a successful product.
Yeah, we all want the same thing. That's what a lot of people tend to forget is everybody wants the same thing.
And we all want the exact same thing. It's just some people, I guess, are more patient than others, you know, and I don't believe in degrading anyone for their opinion, whether it differs from mine or not. You know, I've been called a sheep, you know, well as anybody, thousands of times, because I love Rick Barnes.
Sorry, yeah, I turned the vacuum on there to get up some of that wool.
it is what it is, man. But we all want the exact same thing. And honestly, I'm nervous about next year already. And I mean, it's you know, the season just ended. I'm already nervous. I'm looking forward to football, though.
Absolutely. And John, I know we usually save these topics for the summer when we have absolutely nothing to talk about. Man, we've already started talking about crystals and Texas Roadhouse. And everything else that we shouldn't be talking about on air yet.
So it's hard to beat Texas Roadhouse, man.
So
you just can't.
And you can thank our good friend Billy Stats for starting this argument yesterday of what you get at Texas Roadhouse. What is your go-to meal at Texas Roadhouse?
Man, honestly, I mean, I've got two or three that I go to. It just really depends on the day, but any steak, any cut of steak, I'll never snub my nose up at any cut of steak. Medium rare, though. I mean, you can't go beyond that. Baked tater salad, pretty much just run-of-the-mill stuff. But it really just depends on the day for me, man. What's your go-to at Texas Roadhouse?
So you got to get a steak. I usually just go with a sirloin because I'm cheap. But if I'm feeling good, I might go for that filet. Like you said, got to be medium rare. And then I can't turn down their fries. I don't know what it is about the Texas Roadhouse fries. I love them. I absolutely love them, especially when they're covered in bacon and cheese, and then a Caesar salad to start.
Caesar salad, though?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. That's where you lost.
That's what we were saying, John. That's where you lost us. Caesar salad.
That's a little hoity-toity for my taste, brother. I'm a house salad with some honey mustard guy myself.
I can deal with that.
Baked tater loaded down. Gosh, man, mix it all together in a big just mess all at once and just eat it all at once. Get a nice big old beer on the side. Yeah, you can't beat it.
So how do you order your beer when you go to a place?
It depends on the beer. It really does. I mean, if it's an import bottle, depending on the import, I guess. I don't know. I like Modelo in a glass. I don't know. That's probably my go-to, Modelo, like in a glass, chilled. That's what I prefer, honestly.
See, here's how the sequence goes for me.
To a mug, I prefer a glass, so I'm just saying. I'm weird, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're good, man. But, like, here's how it always works for me. And what will you be having drink, sir? Pull out the ID. Mick Ultra, biggest one you got.
Mick Ultra?
Yeah.
Come on, dude. You can do better than Mick Ultra.
I mean, it's just my go-to beer. And if I'm at the house, it's Natty Light.
I will not allow any Michelob Ultra slander on this show.
I didn't mean to offend the delicate nature of the Mick Ultra drinkers. I apologize.
They have Busch Light on tap at Aubrey's.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. $2.50.
I hate Busch Light.
Oh, it's so good.
I love Busch Light.
There's nothing
better. I'm a lager. Y'all ever had Yingling Golden, though?
Never had Yingling Golden.
I would marry Yingling Golden if it were a person.
Oh, my goodness. And the last question we have for you, John. Do you put sauce on your steak?
No, not
there
if it's prepared.
There we go.
If a steak is prepared perfectly, it needs nothing.
Because I get asked the question all the time, would you like steak sauce, sir? My answer is always, I better not.
Yep, exactly right, man. That's what I tell them. I always say the same thing I just told you. I'm the cook, right? So we'll see. But I actually told this joke. Okay, we're talking about steak preparation. I actually told this joke on radio the other day, so I got one for you before I take off here real quick.
Sure.
How do cats prefer their steak prepared?
How? Nice.
I might have even used that one on here before, but every time I tell it, man, I swear my daughter's reaction. I could tell that joke 30 times in a row, and by time 30, she's still in tears. I love that joke so much.
Oh, God. And it's, I can see, like, I'm just imagining a cat eating raw steak, and you know it would eat it. What's that?
You ever seen a cat try to eat a steak?
No.
It's hilarious.
I'm pretty sure whether they just claw at it. They don't know what to do with it.
It was like watching, it's like watching a condensed version of Animal Planet. Like, I don't know, like white trash Animal Planet. You're sitting here watching a little tabby cat try to demolish a little medallion or whatever, and it's ripping it with its teeth and stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a cat guy anyway. They can't even eat steak. You throw a steak to a dog, he's going to eat that thing down. So I'm a dog guy, man. Cats can't do nothing.
There it is.
Hey, tell it like how it is, man.
Good stuff. John, tell us where to find you.
As always, guys, you can find all of our stuff at allvolcallinshow.com. You can find us all on Facebook. You can search it up in the search bar, All V-O-L, Call-In Show. It's super-duper easy to find all that good stuff. You can find me on Twitter at JXHNDUNN, all kind of smushed together into one word. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to join y'all. It's like every other Tuesday.
Appreciate it, John. Aaron, are we doing a Twitter Spaces this weekend?
We should be, yes. We will do a Twitter space again. I loved doing the off-ball podcast in space. I thought that was pretty cool, having the Twitter space, having everybody in live. We actually got some people in to talk with us on it, too. So that's something we hadn't really thought about when we were formulating the idea for the podcast, was to have, you know, just fans and random interaction with everybody. But I really kind of enjoyed that a whole lot. So hopefully we get a few more people in. I love hearing, you know, a lot of people disagree with me, especially on basketball stuff. So I love a civil disagreement, and I will talk. I'll talk chalk all day, man. So,
absolutely, John. Thank you so much, brother. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. See y'all.
That is John Dunn of the All Vol Call-In Show and All Vol Podcast, making his presence felt here on Overtime. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program, it's Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Matthew Catlin, Baker, and you. Whoever is calling me, you know that I'm on air from 6 to 8 every day. It'd be wise if you'd hit that little red button at the bottom of your phone. There it is.
Hey, just calling it like how it is, man. Just calling it like how it is.
Yep. The Charles Barkley of Knoxville. I've already got the belly. I'm working on it, so... We're getting there. We're getting there.
And just like Charles Barkley, you have a lot of criticism about players.
Oh, I mean, it is what it is. Yep. I don't care if people hate me.
Who cares?
I'll be like that XFL player, he hate me. The back of his jersey, where his name was, it literally said, he hate me. And they did a full segment on it. Let's get Jason in Georgia in here next. What do you say, Jason?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, people are calling me when they know that I'm on air. My schedule hasn't changed in I don't know how long.
I'm just minding my business tonight, enjoying the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear your boy, John Dunn, trashing you for a Caesar salad. See, toy. And then he's out drinking Stella in a glass. I mean, come on, man.
I mean, you know how I am, man. I got my certain way of doing things and my certain way of responding to certain situations.
I just couldn't sit around. I had to call in and stick up for my man, Jake.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you put the grilled chicken on the Caesar salad, or you just get that, like, every now and again?
Oh, well, if I'm just strictly eating a Caesar salad, like if that's my meal, I'll do the chicken with it. Yeah, on it. But if I'm getting a steak, you know, it's regular old Caesar.
Yeah, that's about how I do it.
That's one step up. I go one step up. I go with the medium.
See, that's how I am.
I'm rare.
Yeah, I'm a medium guy.
Yeah, I can't have my steak bleeding.
Oh, that's the best.
I love it. I like to, like, when you're making one at the house and all of it's ran out onto the plate, I turn the plate up and drink it like it's...
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know if we need to know that information.
That's terrible. I don't know about all that.
takes less longer to Dude. Cook if it's rare.
True.
Comes to you faster.
Rough. Hey, what are we? When are we going to know something about like guys that are staying, going? Like when is that stuff happening? Because I mean, it seems to me like everybody's hitting the portal, and
we just had two.
We just had two.
Kent Gilbert and another walk-on.
So people that don't matter.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's. I feel like it's going to start.
Kent Gilbert's here. Been here for like five years.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like. Probably, I would say after the Final Four, right? Yeah,
I'd say after the Final Four.
Yeah, I think there's a rule, right, that it can't happen until like the end of the actual season.
I mean, you can enter the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, people can't start calling you.
Yeah.
Until then, unless you already know where you're going.
Yeah.
So pretty much everybody, Santee, Triple J, Kamwa, Euros. All those cats are just like everybody's going to wait, I guess, at the same time. But I'm pretty sure Barnes has an idea of what everybody's doing, right?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. I would assume so, yeah.
What do you guys think BJ Edwards is going to do?
He's going to stay. I actually, funny enough, I just read an article. Let me see if I can find it.
I think he stays because he's a Knoxville guy.
Yeah, something about – well, he's originally from Johnson City, which is even funnier. Yeah. And then he came down here.
Well, the only outlier of that is his dad was a Florida fan.
Yeah.
I just read an article. It was on 247, something like that, VolQuest. He said that after Ziegler got hurt, it's on him more instead of the coaching.
Really?
So, yeah. Let me see if I can.
You don't think he would, like, now that Rick Pitino is at St. John's, you don't think he'd try to go up there, do you?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. Rick Pitino probably throws a good.
Oh, you're talking about somebody that'll throw a bag at somebody.
Yeah.
He said on Zakai Ziegler being lost for the remainder of the season, the freshman point guard isn't blaming anyone other than himself, saying that I feel like I could have made a difference in some moments.
But at the same time, it wasn't his fault that he was getting played 40 minutes a game.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's going right back to what we said about, you know, having Chandler and Ziegler. I mean, you had another backup point guard right there. Why not use him? I mean, see what he can do. I mean, it couldn't hurt at that point, especially with those, you know, I guess in the Arkansas game when Ziegler did go down, and the one after that we had on the road, was that Auburn?
Yeah, Auburn.
I mean, it wouldn't have hurt to just test it out and see, or even in the SEC tournament, I feel like.
Right. But, I mean, he doesn't need to be putting any blame on himself. Yeah. And Jason, I think you'd agree with this. Like,
100%.
Because, I mean, you beat Duke without him. It's not Zakai Ziegler's fault that we lost to FAU. Even if he were in the game, I'm not sure how much more of a difference it would have made.
No. No, when we get out-rebounded the way that we did, and like 50-50 balls, I don't think we got we got a handful of those.
We got out-dogged. That's what we did.
We got outplayed.
Yeah.
We got out-dogged, no doubt. Yeah. Well, speaking of Rick Pitino, that's a guy who's not afraid to eat a rare steak and drink blood. That guy's a vampire.
I mean, you call me a vampire?
Huh?
You call me a vampire?
100%, bro. You can't be doing all that. That's not good for you, man. That's just not good for you.
Oh, man, but it's so good. I mean...
Now, do you use au jus sauce on anything?
You got to do that on a French dip sandwich.
Okay, that's
au jus.
Yeah, au jus sauce must
now,
be
I drink the au jus as well when I'm done with it.
Okay, that's weird.
I mean, I've never done it, but I probably could with something at Arby's. I get au jus on anything at Arby's.
You go to Arby's?
Oh, Arby's. Oh, yeah. They have a happy hour slider deal?
25 years.
Oh, you're missing out.
Arby's, the one in Memphis, I don't know how it's still open. There's not a soul that drives into it.
You're missing out.
Let me say this about Arby's. So the last time I went is when they had that Diablo chicken sandwich. My stomach hurts so bad.
You guys are
Do you remember that day, Matthew?
You guys might just be getting the wrong thing.
No, dude, I promise, buddy, I was hurting.
This guy was like, he was almost like leaning over.
I was slumped.
anything with the word Diablo and Arby's in the same sentence does not sound fun.
No, like, yeah. I was having trouble walking from my car to the studio.
Kind of like Rick Barnes in the fishing offense.
There it is. Oh, man.
I worked for a guy who... He said, hey, let's go play golf. So we got, you know, four guys together and go. And he was notoriously cheap. And he said, hey, y'all meet me at Arby's for lunch before we play. I'm buying lunch. And everybody's like, oh, no way. No way. This ain't happening. This fool went to the grocery store and got a loaf of bread.
Oh, God.
Walked up to the counter, orders a 5 for $5. You know, back then they had like those, you know, 5 roast beef sandwiches for $5.
Yeah.
How old I am. And so he gets like 4 small fries and waters. Bro, he took that loaf of bread and he took meat off of each sandwich and made extra. Said, guys, I got 2 sandwiches for you. We got some fries and some waters. Let's get it going.
Why even buy the bread? Why not just put the meat from one on the other?
Right.
What are we doing?
So he made 3 sandwiches, so all of us could have 2 sandwiches apiece. I'm like, bro, what? I'm like, dude, I will pay for myself. I don't need this, man. That was the craziest thing. That was when, and I worked for this guy, and I knew when my annual review came up. And it was time for me to get a raise. That I was not going to get one, and I didn't. I worked my tail off. Anyway, hi boys, y'all have a great night. I'm going to cook you a steak medium, and have some potatoes. So, y'all just have a good night, and I'm going to have me a natty pipe.
There we go.
There you go. Yes.
All right, boys.
Appreciate the phone call, Jason. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Thank you, Baker.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.